It's time for The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Tuesday, January 19th, 2021. We have about 21 ships on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we have east winds to 5 knots, gusting to 15, backing around to the northwest in the afternoon. Wind waves from the east, 1 foot high at 4 seconds apart, shifting to the northwest at 4 seconds in the afternoon, and west swells 6 feet at 13 seconds apart. And that's pretty moderate compared to what we've been seeing lately over the past few weeks. So it's nice to see those sea heights down there. Just makes it a little bit easier going for vessels that are working out there in the ocean, both our merchant ships and our fishermen as well. And today, a story about an unsuccessful Coast Guard search and rescue effort in a remote area of the Pacific that highlights the isolation and inherent vulnerability of people who work at sea on ships and boats. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But first, a look at our Columbia River ship schedule for the day. We have 5 inbounders, we have 9 in our Astoria anchorages, and we have 7 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. Our first arrival in the river is the New Inspiration, arriving from South Korea, headed for Astoria's anchorage. She could be out there already. She'll be going upriver to pick up wheat eventually. The Mandarin Grace is also arriving from South Korea. She's headed for the Rainier anchorage, passing Astoria around 1:30 p.m., and she will be up in Rainier, give her about 3.5 hours to get up there and anchor. The tug C-SPAN Raider is arriving from Vancouver, British Columbia. She's going to the Astoria anchorage, and she could be picking up a barge there, handing off, she'll be like inbound with a barge, handing that off to another tug on the river, and then picking up a barge that's probably anchored off of Tongue Point there in the area there, just a little bit east of downtown Astoria. Next is the Inspiration Lake. She is arriving from Japan, headed for Longview to pick up logs, probably will pass Astoria around 8:30 p.m., and be in Longview by midnight. The Bunin Ace is arriving from Sacramento, headed for the Vancouver anchorage. She will be going to the Port of Portland eventually to pick up soda ash, and she'll pass Astoria inbound around maybe 10:30 p.m., give her about 6 hours to get up to the Vancouver anchorage. The story I'm going to share with you today is about a search and rescue operation by the U.S. Coast Guard, one that did not result in being able to save anyone. These operations, called SAR, Search and Rescue, happen almost daily for the Coast Guard year-round, and they save many, many lives. In this case, this story really, really sort of hit me because it made me think about times when I have been out on a ship in the ocean, out of sight of land, and how kind of an unusual experience that is for many people, and how it really does make you feel like a very small place in a very big world. So here's this story from Maritime Executive website. They have a magazine and they're an online news site for maritime news. So let me read this to you. The U.S. Coast Guard has suspended its search for the 10 crew members of the Taiwanese longliner Yong Yu Sing No. 18, who disappeared from their vessel at a position northeast of Midway Atoll. And if you're not familiar with Midway Atoll, that is a small, very small island that is part of the Hawaiian archipelago that is way the heck out in the Central Pacific Ocean. It's 1,300 miles northwest of Honolulu, and it's a very small place. Its total land area is 2.4 square miles. And this fishing boat was out in the ocean near enough to that a Coast Guard vessel could get out to look in the area where this vessel was lost, but it was just a very remote place to get in trouble in the ocean. So let me read you a bit more about this story. As a lifesaver, this is a quote from Captain Craig O'Brien, the Coast Guard 14th District Chief of Response, about this rescue operation. As a life-saving service, making the decision to suspend a search is never easy. We extend our deepest condolences to the family of the mariners. The Coast Guard and Navy air crews, along with our maritime service partners, put forth great effort searching in extremely challenging weather. But unfortunately, there has been no sign of the missing mariners. At the end of December, this boat was reported missing to Taiwan's National Rescue Command Center. The owner of the boat reported that he had lost contact with the vessel. Her AIS transmission, that's that automatic beacon that allows us to look at ships on marinetraffic.com here, the boat had one, it was a big fishing boat, was last detected by satellite at 1500 hours local time on December 29th. when she was located at a position about 530 nautical miles to the northeast of Midway Atoll, so way far away out in the ocean. Tracking provided by Polestar, which is a tracking service, showed that a weather system with extreme wave heights was developing in the area at the time. On January 1st, a U.S. Coast Guard long-range search and rescue aircraft located the missing vessel about 600 nautical miles northeast of Midway. And imagery showed damage to the vessel and no signs of the crew, and a life raft that had been on the boat was missing. Persistent poor weather and rough surface conditions have interfered with the attempts of other fishing vessels in the area to reach and board the vessel. Another Taiwanese vessel, the Lian Hona No. 67, managed to come alongside the drifting boat on January 11th, and while seas were too rough for boarding, the Liang Hong's crew called over and banged on the vessel's hull, according to Taiwanese media. No signs of the Yong Yu Sing's crew were observed. Winds above 20 miles per hour and wave heights of over 25 feet were recorded in the area. So it looks as though the weather in this area around this vessel has continued to be very difficult in the days after this incident was discovered. Taiwanese-led search efforts continue with multiple fishing vessels engaged and awaiting clearer weather. A Taiwanese Coast Guard patrol vessel has been dispatched to traverse the 3,500 nautical mile distance to Midway in order to assist. So it seems as though the crew of this vessel are sadly nowhere to be found, and their boat is now floating in the ocean unmanned in what is essentially the middle of the Pacific Ocean. So this made me think of a lot of things. It made me think of how vulnerable sailors are on vessels, especially in terrible bad weather. It must be really scary to be on a ship that is just being tossed around like a rag doll in some of this really awful weather. And at some point, the crew made this what turned out to be a fateful decision to abandon ship. There's a saying in the maritime world that you should only get in a life raft when your boat is sinking beneath you. And while that, of course, is not a hard and fast rule, and circumstances are different in every emergency, but it's all the nugget of truth in there is that it can be much more dangerous to be in a small life raft than it can be to be in the boat itself. Life rafts can capsize and people can drown. A lot can happen once you leave your vessel. And you'll notice in this story that despite very bad and frightening weather, the boat made it. It was still afloat and could have saved their lives had they stayed aboard. It's likely that the decision to get in the life raft could have been what doomed them ultimately. So to me, this seemed like a very lonely story and a sad end for people way far away from help and from home. And also something to keep in mind about the seafood that we all eat. A lot of imported seafood in this that comes from other countries is caught by boats like this that are working very, very far offshore. Even our local fishermen here in the U.S. take huge risks and go out in the very worst weather to bring us the food we eat. So stories like this are another opportunity to be thankful for all that bounty and to remember the people who bring it to us. Commercial fishing and logging remain the two most dangerous professions in the U.S. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.